Welcome to David's Life and Observation with your host, David Welch. Today's story is going to both infuriate and piss off a lot of people because I'm specifically targeting corporate America. This is kind of a love and hate letter to corporate America. And I get the understanding of, you know, you want to produce the most work out of somebody, but invest literally nothing into them, so that way you yield as much maximum profit as possible. And you want to develop a system where you can cycle through people and have people achieve for you and convince them that they're getting a good deal. That's what corporate America is. And it's a real sad commentary because there are genuine people out there that love to work, that love to engage in going out and earning a living, but they like a company structure because it's a little bit of a safer bet. And I totally understand that. I really do. I get that you're trying to get what's best for you and your family. Believe me, I'm doing the same thing. I'm out there working corporate jobs myself. And I'm scratching my fucking head wondering why. Like, why the fuck do I have to deal with the bureaucracy of people anymore? Like, I've got to the point where it's like, fucking why? Now, the easy answer to that is, hey, you have kids, dumbass, and you need to get a paycheck, you need to have benefits, you need. The answer to that is, yes, all of what is said above is true. But it's also about how you go and earn it, right? And that's something, there's a company out there a long time ago that was very wrestler supportive called Go Earn It. And these guys were really fucking cool. Like, they'd give you merch, they'd give you gear if you were a competitive wrestler and you had really awesome pictures. You know, it was just one of those things where you just wanted to be, you just wanted to go earn it. You just wanted to be the top dog in your weight class. You wanted, you know, the most cool pictures and everything like that. Plus, you know, like a chance at some awesome gear. I mean, wrestlers love gear. We love the idea that, you know, we can be powerful and earn things through our effort. You know, and wrestlers do. Wrestlers, by and large, earn medals, earn bragging rights, earn scholarships sometimes, earn so many different things through their own achievement, and it's a very powerful tool, especially going into the workforce where there's two dynamics of earning. You have people who have self-sufficient earning potential, who run their own business oftentimes, who are really natural leaders. They take charge and they do well with their small company. You see this a lot with construction. There are some people out there that are awesome crews. They run a small crew of maybe 10 to 15 guys. They're making money hand over fist. They're enjoying life. Until that shit comes to a halt, which, you know, by and large, happens to a lot of construction workers, because sometimes work dries up, or, you know, the economy's not right for XYZ, you know, you name it. There's a plethora of reasons why small businesses and small business owners take a big hit. And sometimes it has everything to do with taxes and filing, and, you know, that's why they'll hire people and pay them cash, because, hey, that's one less paperwork. That's one less little bit of, you know. But then the guys who are earning cash hand over fist, you know, do very well throughout the year, but when it comes to injury or anything like that, they've not taken the step to buy themselves an insurance, or they just don't make enough to really add that to their budget or their bottom dollar, because they've got people to take care of. You know, whereas companies, they offer that as part of their benefits package. So if you take a totality of the benefits that you get and you weigh that against, like, somebody who's an independent business owner who's yielding much more profit in a, you know, short amount of time, you're torn between two dogs fighting over the same bone, unfortunately. So herein lies the answer to that conundrum, at least for me. You know, I don't mind earning freelance dollars. Like, that to me is where I would like to be in that space. It's preferential to my working style. It's preferential to my health. But when it comes to earning a paycheck, yeah, I really do like earning a paycheck where it's, you know, it's taken care of. Where I have most of my things taken care of, where I have to not worry about certain things like dental, like medical coverage, things like that, because it's all included within the package. You know, I got a 401k, blah, blah, blah. And it's really cool to have a specific ease of mind when it comes to certain things. However, when it comes to the freedom to travel and the freedom to, you know, take on work that you're comfortable with within a proper setting that you are comfortable with, instead of hitting the grind, and a lot of companies are out there forcing people to grind super hard with, you know, a plethora of bad leadership leading those people. Good leadership, and I'll scream this name from the top of every building that I could possibly get on top of. There's a man out there in the universe named Kirk Durkin. Man has several brothers. Man is a father. Man is a husband. And by far, one of the best leaders in business that I've ever had the pleasure to work with. Because his mentality and his attitude coming to work every morning, I mean, you would have just thought this guy was the most blessed man on the planet. Even if we were in a freaking slump, this guy would harden the paint for you. Like, I'm telling you, like, fight tooth and nail to get everything he can for his team. And that's a leader that you feel bad if you don't succeed for. You know what I mean? I like leaders that give that to me. I like leaders that are like, damn, I didn't hit my mark. Fudge. You know, like, you just like, you feel like you disappointed your father or something. You just, and the thing about Kirk is he never looked askance at you. He was like, damn, you just put up a hell of a fight. Way to go. And you still got rewarded, pat on the back, but you felt like, ugh, ah, and you're screaming in your own head like, damn, I just, you know, I know he's, you know, he's grateful for the work that I put in, but at the same time, I'm not where he knows I can be. So for workers to have a manager or leader that does that to them, keep a hold of them. Keep their name in your mouth, because that helps them and that helps you. So, you know, wherever he's working, I don't even know right now. I've just been kind of lost in my own shit as of late. You know, wrestling with, you know, working and then, you know, making money on my own, which, you know, is a crisis ladder sometimes, where it's like, well, you know, sometimes I do well. I'll make a couple hundred dollars a week, which is fantastic for me. I know people that are making $300-$400 a day, which is more ideal, and that's where I would like to be. However, you know, depending on what your niche is, depending on where your strong suit is, that may not be in the cards for you immediately, but over time, depending on the contracts that you do acquire, yeah, that's an entire plausibility. Because people have a need of your skill set, but sometimes they are just not willing to pay for the skill set. I mean, there's a lot of companies that are taking advantage of degree people, and they're grinding them into mush. And they don't care. Because the execs are going to get paid, the shareholders are going to get paid first, and then, you know, the CEO is going to walk away with a cool couple million. But everybody on that bottom tier that's not taking days, they're not, and here's what it comes down to. There are companies out there that are numbers driven, that are sales driven, you know, and they will browbeat the shit out of anyone who dares take a day. They do. They browbeat them, they beat them into the ground, but a manager will take weeks upon weeks upon weeks upon weeks of fucking, you know, leave away from work. But they'll email you and expecting you to operate on full fucking tempo all the fucking time and meet your number. And they put the number at such a point where it forces you to be sedentary and not engage properly with your life. And I found that to be true with a lot of these call center jobs. A lot of these call center jobs are a grind. And some people really do enjoy what they do. Like, you know, I love actually talking to people. I love engaging with people. I love solving problems with people. I love people achieving their dream through the mechanism that I'm offering them. Whether it's a tool or whether it's a degree program or whatever it is that you're selling them. You're selling them something. And they're taking advantage of it. You're giving them a call on something that they inquired about, that they thought about, and they genuinely wanted that information, or they got it immediately, and sometimes they don't want to talk to you, and that's okay too. Because some people don't quite frankly need to talk to anyone to accomplish what they need to accomplish, and quite frankly, they don't want to hear a middleman's voice or a middle woman's voice. They don't give a shit. They are goal-oriented. They know what they need. They know what they need to do. And they're going to go out and get it whether you are there or not. Now, if they do absolutely need your product and you are that salesperson, yeah, you're going to get the sale, but you're probably not going to have too many conversations with them. Which is okay for the seller, which is okay for the person, you know, producing the sale. But at the same time, if they come back with, you know, how dare you lie to me? You know, like, that's something that, you know, when you do cross that bridge, you say, listen, you didn't want to hear what I had to say. You decided to make the purchase without reading all the fine print, and that's on you. Sorry about that, but hey, you know, you didn't want to go with the person's advice. You didn't want to hear the person out. So that's, you know, doubling down on you. But at the same time, you know, you want to have that work-life balance. And a lot of people are like, well, what does that really look like? Because some people are just flat-out workaholics. They love going to work. You know, and sometimes it's not even a love of going to work. It's a love of getting the fuck away from their family and going to their work family, because that ends up becoming a big part of your family as well. And we all have them. We all have work buddies or work homies that, man or woman, doesn't matter, that we become involved with in some sort of way, and we hang out afterwards, or, you know, they become a lifelong homie, and they're always somebody you're gonna, you know, maybe at the next job you guys will, you know, meet up, or maybe at the, you know, somebody through an acquaintance you meet up at a barbecue again, hey, how are you doing, you know, long time no see, what are you doing now, and you catch up, and that's what happens. Sometimes that happens with freelancers who end up owning their own business after a while. And, you know, maybe you can hire that buddy. You know their work ethic. You know they're quality people, and you want to take care of them. That's what happens too. Does that every situation? No, but it does happen. But here's the fuckery going on in corporate America right now. Corporate America is making it exceedingly challenging to get hired, because they're going to scream from the rooftop saying, oh man, well, there's all these jobs, but not enough qualified people. How in the fuck, pray tell, can you say there's no qualified people when it takes a chimpanzee to do exactly what you're going to teach them to do anyway? And I'm sorry, but that's the majority of the jobs out there, that it's not too much brain power to do exactly what it is they do. It just really is not. Or, you know, it's people who already have these skills. They've had these skills. They've been working in the environment for years. But let's say maybe they don't have a bachelor's degree. Well, listen, you're disqualifying someone because they have a plethora of experience, but they have no degree. Like, the academic inflation in this country is absolutely obscene. But sometimes there's corporations that give two fucks about what degrees you have, because that doesn't matter to them. They want you in that entry-level position. They want you earning $40,000 a year, but they want you to make them at least $2 million a year. That's the trade-off. That's the actual trade-off, where you're making, you know, $35,000 to $40,000, and you're either saving the company money or you're making the company money through sales. And sometimes people are reaching sales of, you know, between $1.8 and $4 million or $1.8 and $5 million, depending on how seasoned they are as a entity within the confines of that business. and how long they've been able to build a book of business and be successful at it. So you have people, let's just talk about the education space for a second. You have people that are out there making $50,000, $60,000, but they're making their companies $6 million. And you're like, how the fuck does that guy make that company $6 million by themselves? Well, if you take a look at the numbers of just the sale, right? So let's say you're selling a product that's, let's put it at the ballpark number of an even $12,000, okay? So for every sale you get in that month, it's $12,000 a company is earning, okay? Then you take out of that $12,000 a piece for your salary. So let's say, example, you get four students. You've already paid your salary for the year. Okay, so for four sales, you've already covered your entire salary for the year if you're coming in entry level. Everything after that goes to pay the university partner and the instructors, and then what's left on top of that is purely profit. So let's say the university let's say they get greedy and they just want half. Okay, they want half, so you know, you got to do double the work to get to your 40,000. So, okay, let's say, you know, you get to your eight students and in 1 month, that's still paying for your salary. So 6,000 times eight is 48. So that's, you know, damn near, you know, your entire salary. Okay. And that is your entire salary if you're making under 40,000. So let's go back to, you know, the paying off the instructors. Now, the instructors will teach for 6 months. They're getting paid probably $3,000 to $4,000 a month to teach, okay? And they're teaching remotely, and they're only teaching 3 days out of the week. So for 3 days out of the week, you know, and teaching remotely, they're making, you know, depending on the lower end, you're probably talking about a clean $3,500 a month, or on the upper end, maybe $5,500 a month. Through teaching cybersecurity or whatever it is that they're teaching, if it's a high-level technical thing. So that's where some instructors are. But that's not every instructor. Every instructor has a scaled, you know, whatever deal they've worked out. Sometimes it's on the lower end, especially if they're new to the game. So they might be able to teach, but they don't have, you know, a whole lot of relevant real-world experience, but they do have the ability to teach what they can, because let's be quite honest, we have people that are in the tech space that are making well over six figures with a little bit of schooling, which is fantastic, which is, you know, quite frankly where this generation is eyeballing, because they have no concept of wanting to really, you know, do physical work, because physical work can be painful. Well, and not only that, you know, you sometimes you'll see a laborer making, you know, less money than somebody who's sitting at a desk all day. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you see the inverse, where you see a laborer making, you know, 35, 40 bucks an hour, 60, 70 bucks an hour, depending on their skill set. You know, a good electrician is walking around $100 an hour as a journeyman, you know, and that's pretty common. They make good money. Their companies are flying around. They're, you know, they're making the company, you know, money hand over fist, but that's a specialized skill set that does require school. Same thing with cybersecurity. It does require a little bit of school to mitigate threats in real time. It does require school to work on, you know, things and whatnot. But here's what we're doing to those people. We're putting them in so much savage debt that they can't possibly pay it back after they've already acquired a whole bunch of other bills and a whole bunch of other things that they need to take care of. We'll say they have a family. And sometimes these people are going to school and then they're landing in jobs that are not paying what they need to earn in order to satisfy that debt and maintain a living. I.e. people that are doing sales for school. Oftentimes they have bachelor's and master's degrees, and they have several years of doing it with other schools. But every corporation wants to bring everybody in at entry level because, oh, how dare you not start at the bottom. And if we are bringing you in as a manager, we're going to bring you in as a manager because you are a manager at so-and-so school and another school and another school. But we're not even going to consider whether or not you'll be a good fit for our institution, but you were a manager. So let's go ahead and just You know, and that's the problem we're running into with, a lot of buddy fucking is what's going on. If there's a lot of, oh man, I know a great person, they were a great manager at so-and-so school. Nah, not always. They were a fucking terrorist to their people. And then you're bringing in bad managers, bad leadership to a company that didn't originally have that kind of cancerous type of leadership. And then you wonder why your company's a revolving door. Well, if you have people that really give people a hard time about taking a mental health day, or you have people in leadership that really browbeat you when you have to go pick up your kid at school, or whatever it is, I mean, they just, the look that they give you is pure diversion, pure nonsense, really. And they torture you because of it. They really go all in about, saying, hey, you're not, with the tribe because, you decided to take a day and you didn't quite meet your quota. So we're going to go ahead and put you on a plan so that you never not hit your quota. Well, it doesn't matter what training you give or what plan you give. Sales is a waterfall. Sales is a waterfall. Sometimes the current is great in abundance. Sometimes it is a little more than a trickle. And it's unfortunate that that's the way it is, but that is unfortunately the way sales works. Now, depending on what you're selling, you can earn quite a bit of money selling something that people are fighting over, that people want. Which, in the inner city was cocaine. Great. You didn't have to really do much to sell those. In fact, there's people that still are in the drug scene that don't have to do much to sell them. Let's go talk about corporate drug scene. All they got to do is incentivize a few doctors, grease a few hands, and next thing you know, people are being diagnosed, or not diagnosed, but being given those medications for the diagnoses that medication is supposed to help alleviate. So that's what ends up happening, and then you end up having years later without going through the proper channels, because not every drug out there cares about, FDA approval. They're going to go through and, make sure that they are going to get there, so it's all about speed to market. And they're going to market it as the greatest thing since sliced bread. Hey, if you do this drug, you're going to feel amazing. And then the side effects, they read the side effects in all super quickness, because they're going to be like, well, the reality is you're going to be fucking in pain and it's going to torture you because it's going to give you all these other ailments and you're going to take these other drugs to go get those fixed. But ultimately the problem with corporate America is that they do not give a shit about their bottom line workers who make them the majority of their money. So imagine a call center space where you have hundreds of employees making you individually millions of dollars, and you're able to, keep the lights on, and at the end of the day, you're still having a net profit, and you have one individual salesperson making you, like I said, those millions of dollars. So not only is that person probably paying for the next five other salespeople, but they're also paying for the agreement you have with whatever hospital to get whatever benefits. So that's part of the package too. At the end of the day, you're still making so much money hand over fist that you're starting to acquire other venues, things like that. And that's how earning money really gets you up there, and being a CEO or somebody on top of that is making you look like an all-star. But here's what you're actually doing. You'll go through and say, we're a great company. We have a positive attitude. We have a positive environment. And then you hear something that you don't want to hear. You hear like, oh, well, technically, no, we're not all happy. And we hear, or you'll hear, oh, man, like, this person dared to say something, against this process. We got to get rid of that person because we can't have any naysayers. We can't have people going against the grain. You have a job. What would you have to be upset about? Okay, cool. That's fantastic. But let's talk about a fair wage. When you talk about, giving bonuses to execs in, a meeting with everybody, you talk about giving them bonuses that are more than your entire year's salary, And you're the one that you find out, hey, like, listen, all the salespeople are making all the money for this company. Now, we're not here to tell, to say that execs don't work or that they don't need to, you know, get a benefit or that they're not incentivized to be awesome and, you know, lead verticals or whatever the fuck it is that they actually do, which is not much because they're people managers. Or they're money managers. You're doing one of two things. You're either putting money in the right place and do the right thing at the right time to yield the right amount of boom, or you're the person managing the people and managing the people, keeping them upbeat, keeping them grinding harder and harder for you every day. And we had great leadership for a little while who was somebody that you could actually talk to and care about the entirety of you and the company. I mean, there were situations where, you know, like people were being fired in the pandemic initially because, hey, I'm at home now, I'm working from home, and I got the chaos of my kids being home, my wife being home, the dogs are home, everybody's home, and you're not getting a bit of peace so you can, you know, work your job because maybe you and the entire family live in a one-bedroom apartment. Makes it hard to be a productive person when you have toddlers crying all over you, or you hear them in the background, or whatever have you, and you're trying to elicit sales, but they've closed down the external sites, so you're forced to be home. So, did they make the right call and say, hey, why are you putting people on paper for being forced into a situation they can't control? That was the right move, but then you, 2 years later, are crying about people not wanting to go into the back to the office, and there's a reason for that, because people are saving money hand over fist not being in the office, and they're doing the job in a more productive output. So you're more productive at home, you cost the company less money at home, but because of corporate real estate and the user ability of that real estate matters to the company, they're crying that they want you back in the office making less money because now you got to commute. Now you've got to worry about gas again, which is at $4 an hour most places. $4 at the tank for a gallon at most places. And then you're wanting them to pack a lunch or buy a lunch. That's going to cost them money. That takes away, you know, money from their food budget. So all these variables come back into play for people who, quite frankly, just want to stay home and keep doing what they're doing because they're happy doing what they're doing. But the corporations don't see it that way because they do not give a fuck about their bottom people. And that's where you're going to have problems with this great resignation, because the great resignation is where people are saying, you know what, we do want a job, but we're not going to take a job anymore that's going to fuck us over. We're not going to take a job that's going to be like, listen, we're going to pay you $40,000. If I even hear $40,000 as a viable option for that business to hire me, I shut them down immediately. I have my base salary expectations on my goddamn resume. If you cannot meet my base, then don't fucking talk to me. Don't bother people. Because what you'll do is you'll get their hopes up. Or you have the great state of Arizona is the worst in the business of doing this. The bait and switch. The great state of Arizona. Man, this is the only place I know where they recruit people from across the country to come here. And they'll say, you know what, George? We lied to you about the $75,000 you were going to make. The real position is $55,000, same responsibilities. We know you've moved your family out here, but that's the deal. Take it or leave it. And most people take it because, you know, they're forced to, or they feel like they're forced to take it because they don't know labor law, or they don't have enough proof to say, hey, this company was going to promise me X, Y, and Z in order to move here. Where was the text message? Where was the communication on that? Right? You went on the site, said $75,000 for a position, or it gave you a range, and then they put you at the bottom of that range. Say, oh no, you're still going to earn the money, but you're at the bottom of that salary range. It's called the bait and switch. It's illegal. It's an illegal practice. Get yourself a lawyer. But let's talk about just higher education in general in the state of Arizona. Arizona has burnt people out of admissions. You've got several schools here that are vying for the taxpayer money. They're vying for federal funds. They're vying for, you know, any sort of money they can get because they want to expand their little, you know, city of students and keep offering, you know, more things that would entice more people to come to their venue. So you end up having these little dictatorships that are led by these school CEOs, or even the CEO of the umbrella company that is, you know, in charge of everything, like Zenith Education Group, or, you know, GCU as their shareholders, because the people in the bottom line are, again, treated like shit, treated horribly, and now they've tiered it. They've given you tiers at GCU, and I've even had that question, what tier were you on at GCU? Well, I predate the tiers. They didn't have a tiered system when I was there. It was a flat $40,000 when you started. You got a $10,000 raise at the 2-year mark, and then after that, it was very incremental percentages, very, very, you know, until you made manager or whatever have you. And there's still people there that are making, you know, below that threshold, or they're still making about, you know, $45,000. They've been there 12 years, and it's sad because they'll have some people that are fresh off the street making on the upper end. But what that's doing is that is incentivizing enrollment, which is illegal and not supposed to be occurring. So GCU, buckle up. I know somebody's going to send you guys to task for a lawsuit, and they absolutely should. You know, but at the same time, you've got other schools that have that boiler room mentality, and they do crazy things. They hire managers that will lock people in a room and say, you know what, we're not going to leave here until somebody quits. Or what they'll do is they'll say, okay, cool, well, we need to justify a reason to fire this person because of X, Y, Z. We just don't like him. So what we're going to do is we're going to say, oh, well, you're not meeting performance, but set it up to where he cannot possibly meet performance. Or set it up to where his performance expectations are so on the top end of his capability, not just the top end of their capability, but the top end of anybody's capability. And of course they don't meet that mark, and then that justifies firing them. So corporations are engaging in fuckery all the time. And it has nothing to do sometimes with the CEO, but sometimes the CEOs are directly involved with the fuckery. Whereas, you know, for my instance, I was on an Ask Me Anything. I pointed out the real situation as it was. I made conversation about you know, the tactics used by leadership to keep us, you know, grinding instead of taking days, instead of taking, you know, family vacations that are planned, or they'll flat out deny them and say, you know, listen, we're gonna go ahead and deny your request at this time, but it's only because, you know, you're not meeting your number, or, you know, you're scarcely close to not meeting your number for the quarter, so we really need you to step it up this month, and we're going to go ahead and just deny your 2 weeks vacation you had planned to Florida, or you had planned to wherever. You know, it doesn't matter. It could be a staycation where you just veg out for 2 weeks. It doesn't matter. They've denied it, and now you're in a situation where you've paid this money for maybe a vacation, and you got to tell the wife and kids, hey, you guys can go. Maybe I can't go. I got to. Or you turning it into a workcation. That's the worst. Where you're sitting in their lobby of a hotel, you're working, and your family's out there enjoying the, you know, the water. They're out enjoying the beaches. They're out enjoying the festivities in some sort of way that you're not until you're off of work, which is most of the time in the evening. And then even then, you're so exhausted and trying to organize just getting to dinner and whatnot and handing out money so they can go get tokens. Whatever the case is, you've turned your vacation into a workation for work, and you're going all out for a business that does not care about you at the end of the day, because they're okay letting you go over the most minuscule shit. And that's the facts. So you wonder why, you know, CEOs and companies are all like, you know, all about trying to entice workers, but at the same time, they want those government grants, they want that government money, saying, hey, you know, we're just not finding qualified people. There's just not enough out there. Or there's just no one, you know, we have these jobs available, but, you know, they don't have degrees in aerospace engineering, they don't have the 17 certifications that you need to do the job, and yeah, yada, 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 yada. But what we do have is a conglomerate of people that, you know, can get the job done at a very much lower scale. In fact, if we could outsource it to overseas, you know, we would. We would do that. If we could show that we would make more money, if not the same, at least the same amount of money, by outsourcing it to a different country, which they would do. Which is why you had this really horrible shit back in the 90s where everybody you talked to with customer service was from India. Now, I'm not saying Indian people are not educated. I'm not saying that they're not highly intelligent and very dedicated workers, because we've come to find out that that's just factually false. The Indian people, the Haitians, the people from outside this country that come to this country, the first fucking thing they do is open a business. Or the first thing they do is they excel where their strengths are, and then they build a platform of comfortability around that. We see that in Canada, we see that here, and, you know, we sure as shit, you know, see that in places like where there's a lot of technology, like Silicon Valley, or, you know, whatever company is really hungry for tech people. Because if you come in, you know, hot with IT certifications, or you know how to code, or you're familiar with tools, you're going to get a job. You're going to get a job somewhere. And it's not like these companies don't have a product that's worth purchasing. They do. And they're going to sell. But the way they treat their people and the amount of sales that they are trying to go for is and are obscene, because they are trying to, you know, get the most maximum output that they can from people and dictate their decisions and make as many decisions for people as possible. In fact, if they could do it through an automation system, they would. They would wipe out people in general, whole swaths of people, in order to save them a bottom buck. And then you have people that are not just homeless or not just, you know, poor, but they're also working poor. These are DoorDashers. These are, you know, people who are go-getters, man. Like, once they get fired, they're up in that morning. They got a suit and tie on. They're calling all their friends on LinkedIn. They're calling everybody they can on, you know, Indeed. They put in thousands of applications. You know, by the end of the first month, you're just sitting there like, why have I not been hired yet? Well, there's a reason for that, because there's fuckery going on in corporate America to win back the ability to dictate what people earn and dictate what people do, because they know at the end of the day you're eventually going to need money. Now, there are people that would resort to crime, or they'd resort to, you know, making money as an independent contractor, but you got these big corporations that will, you know, they'll say, oh, well, you got to sign an NDA, you can't go work at another school for another, you know, 30, 40 days, or you can't go to, you can't do XYZ for X amount of time. Like, no, that's fuckery. And fuck corporations. And you know who protects corporations? Government agents and officials. They protect these corporations because those corporations are turning around from the money that you've earned that corporation, and they're going to hand that politician, hey, you know what, keep on doing what you're doing. Don't mention our industry. Don't mention us. Or if you do, it's only in a positive light, and we're going to go ahead and give you $100,000 a year just to do that. And they got it. Of course they got it. And that's why these politicians are leaving, you know, Congress multimillionaires, because they're being taken care of by the American taxpayer already, getting a bloated salary way beyond their right to even earn a salary from the American people. You know, and it's sad, because these people are going to turn around and invest that $100,000 they get from the American people into, you know, a business that so-and-so owns, or they're going to turn around and then they're going to lobby for whatever the fuck that business wants, no matter if it's ethical or unethical. It doesn't matter. They're getting the money to at least put a word in their favor. So when it comes to corporate fuckery, it's just engaged on all aspects. And it's not like we don't have a good working class people here in the United States, but we're seeing more and more where it's becoming more and more elitist to even live here. You know, rents upwards of, you know, $2,400 for a two-bedroom apartment. And that's being conservative. There are other places out there selling two bedrooms, three bedrooms, one bedroom for $3,000, you know, dollars. Gas prices are at $4. We've seen, you know, 8% of inflation with no percent of inflation of money that's going towards the American people. You know, and companies are demanding more of people because, yeah, okay, you can work from home. We want you to hit this embarrassingly difficult quota each month, or we're just going to can your ass and find somebody that will get even closer. And they do. And then they're pissing off the huge conglomerate of American people. And then they're wondering, like, well, what? Then you got fucking people crying in the corporate world. Well, we have everything. We have diversity, equity, and we include so many different, you know, LGBT and, you know, different races and different ethnicities. We're so fucking woke, you know, but we're a great company, but you will demonize the shit out of a, you know, straight white male. Because that's the danger. I mean, that's the danger in every company, is a straight white male making more than, you know, $50,000 a year. That is the absolute fucking target of these people. And you'll find, I mean, you know, a lot of corporate structures, you're going to find a lot of women in leadership positions, men in leadership positions. Not like they're saying it's not earned. But, you know, there's a whole lot of favoritism going towards that shit. And there's a whole lot of, you know, well, you know, in order for us to look like a more woke institution, we're going to put a whole bunch of people that, you know, maybe have the credentials, but may not necessarily have the right, you know, everything that we're looking for. But, yeah, they generally fit the description, and we'll put them in positions of leadership, and fuck people that have the earning power. Fuck people that have the degrees and the know-how and the learning to back themselves. And we're going to keep them at a low station because they can earn, you know, at an exceedingly high amount. And then we're going to bring in people that are just, you know, going to shit on them and make them work harder. And that's exactly what happened, you know, where they're weeding out any straight white male at the, you know, the institution I formerly worked for. They will browbeat them. They put them on paper for the dumbest reasons. And, you know, anybody who is a minority, they just quite frankly leave them alone. They don't talk to them. They don't browbeat them. They sure as shit don't put them on cap, you know. And it's just kind of a hilarious commentary. Or they're taking people who are genuine rookies that have no skin in the game whatsoever, and they're treating them poorly because they're not as adept or as quick as people who, you know, who have come from other institutions where they do have a history, and you're still paying them, you know, damn near poverty wages in order to stay that way. And then you've got the conundrum of the trucker. So, you know, truckers, you always hear, oh man, it's so lucrative to be a trucker. It's not. It's not. Unless you own your own truck. And even then, if you have some sort of repair, that can knock your $40,000 in, you know, excess earning for the year down to nothing. So any sort of repairs are going to be expensive. Gas is expensive. Adhering to every state law, every federal law, every, you know, even if you're tired, they browbeat the shit out of you. I mean, it's just, it's incredible how trucking companies, you hear them like, oh man, like they're giving me a shot, they're going to get me a truck and da da da, you know, and they're going to lease the truck out to somebody that is never going to be able to pay that off. Never. No matter how fucking loads you do. And then you don't get paid for waiting. Like, that's incredible to me. Where you could be doing a job. You're on site to work and get the job done. But you're not getting paid because the truck's not moving. That, to me, is criminal. And they're avoiding paying people a just due amount of money. Because if you're forced to sit for a few days and you cannot earn money, you've got to be able to pay the bills still. And that's just one industry. That's just trucking. Imagine how many other industries and places that are just taking advantage of people. But that's why I love this generation of people, because right now you have a generation of people that are, you know what? Fuck it. I'll stay home. I'll just say, hey, I can't pay rent because I got let go due to COVID reasons. Or, hey, I just got let go. I'm, you know, not making any money. I've got to find a solution, X, Y, Z. But, you know, that's my current circumstance. And then there's nothing they can do. And then you clan up where you get together with, you know, friends or friends of family or family. And you get a bunch of people together who are working a bunch of independent gigs to make one household happen. That's what happens. Sometimes that happens too. That's happening right now where you have the highest percentage of adult children staying home with their parents because it is not safe going out there on your own, regardless of having degrees, regardless of having certain types of education, even engineers, Because you were told, I was told from time immemorial, that if you're you're an engineer, you're always going to be safe. Well, we're finding out that that's not true. There are genuine engineers out there that are working the job, and they're getting stiffed. They're the ones having to fucking fight for, you know, every dollar that they earn. And it's incredible that you have a time where an engineer, somebody who is a metal worker or a craftsman who's building a fucking engine, who is not making six figures automatically. You see it in Boeing and other companies are fucking champions at doing this to guys where, yeah, we'll bring you on, but we're going to start you off at $65,000, and then you've got to earn your way to six figures. And when you do get to that point where you are making six figures, we're gonna say, you know what, you can go to this other company, start at the bottom over there, and then we're going to go ahead and write and shit down your throat to the next person and bring them all the way back down from earning six figures, all the way back down to $60,000 to $75,000. So that way we can say, you know what, you know, new company, new shine on the brass. You're going to go ahead and do all this, you know, tough fucking work that we have for you. You're going to be using, you know, the engineering degree. You're going to be, you know, working on elevators. We're going to have you doing X, Y, Z. You're going to build this entire fucking ship from scratch. But we're going to pay you shit. Same thing with dock workers. Now, I used to get upset at dock workers, you know, when I was in the Navy, because these are these people that are contracted to do things that we are very well capable of doing, but like by and large, they outsource everything for the Navy because it's too expensive to train us how to do it. So like you'll have people that are trained in the Navy, but they'll still bring on a civilian in order to oversee or do the actual work necessary to, you know, make whatever is not fixed work again. And it's not like they have such a high level of expertise that the people who are working on the ship every day can't do it. It's just that it's more lucrative for the Navy to bring in somebody else versus give Joe Sailor another school to make him more profitable, or to risk the fact that you're going to possibly injure this sailor by doing, you know, X, Y, and Z fix. I just don't get the mentality of that. You know, why are you going to pay these sailors? And then the sailors are on salary anyway. Like, whatever their rank is, that's what they get. They could be doing hundreds of thousands of hours of work, you know, constantly, but you're only going to make a certain amount of money. When it comes to civilians, telling them to do anything without proper compensation, they're going to throw you the giant middle finger. And you do want those government contracts because those are lucrative to companies, and that's why they're fighting. That's why our defense bill is astronomical. It's more than the GDP of 90% of the countries in the United, you know, in the world. I will say the New World Order, because that's what we're coming to. But you have a huge swath of companies that are just vying for that fucking DOD dollar, because, you know, it's a win for them, because now they can command an obscene amount of money they would never been able to contract for before. And then all they have to do is justify quarterly why they needed the X amount of money, because they're going to bring on X amount of people to do the amount of work sooner, but they don't bring on more people. They have the same amount of people, and then the people that are leading that company are just lining their fucking pockets. But they're forcing people to do double the work that they would normally do. So it's corporate greed and corporation leadership that just doesn't understand people. They don't understand what's going on right now, and they're literally forcing the Great Resignation to happen because they're waiting people out. Fortunately, some of these companies have the ability monetarily to wait people out, to go back to the negotiation table and say, you know what, quite frankly, we're just going to keep working with who we have. We're not going to bring on anybody. Or, you know, if we do need people, we're just going to go ahead and scrape the bottom of the barrel. We're going to retweak it to where we're only bringing people in at $40,000. And if you don't like it, tough shit, you can go somewhere else. But we're the only people hiring. So that's what they're trying to do. But what people are okay doing is saying, okay, cool, let me go, or we're going to go elsewhere, or we're going to try and go elsewhere, or we're going to wait. And you got people who are saying, oh, well, you know, I need money so bad, I'm willing to work $40,000 in order to make it work. But then Sometimes they do work that job for a couple days, get a few paychecks, and then they get fired because they're purposely not putting in the performance that that company expects you to put. And that company's getting frustrated and then crying to the world saying, oh, well, they just don't want to work. They're lazy people. This generation has no work ethic. And we're the ones that are above reproach. When we all know that's not the fucking case. No, if you weren't a corporate dickhead and you pay people properly and you were fucking had genuine concern over the people that are under you and you investigate the fucking red flags that they tell you to investigate with people fucking shitting on you, then you'd be in a better place to lead your fucking company to greatness. You know, I mean, how many times does it need to be said, to a CEO of a company that, hey, there are people that work for you that are utter shit. They are horrible human beings. They are treating people horribly. They're not being leaders. They're not being managers. They're telling people one thing and then doing another. I mean, that's not fucking leadership. Not once did I ever experience that under the guise of a few leaders. Okay? Seth Israel being one of them. One of my leaders. One of my mentors. One of, people that I look up to greatly. Did he ever do that to me at any fucking point in time? Never. Anytime I fucked up, I genuinely got a reprimand for it, and he taught me how to not fuck up again. Kirk Durkin, same thing. Hey, he took it under advisement that, hey, you know what? You didn't perform where you needed to be. But going into this next session, this is how we're going to play the ball. And if we have the same outcome, okay, cool. We're going to try another style. He was never once to say, you know what? I can't fucking handle you. I can't deal with your inability to meet our number. It was always a, hey, let's go ahead and try something new. Or, hey, let's go ahead and talk about maybe what's affecting you at home that'll keep you in the game here. Or, hey, do you need to work at home so that way it's safer for you to, perform at a higher level? And sometimes that was the case. That's why you have some people who are very good rock stars at working at home and some people who are not, that they need the office environment to thrive in because that's where they feel they perform the best. But that's not everybody. That is not even close to everybody. So what I'm saying is that at the end of the day, corporations are going to lose in the great resignation game. They're going to lose because they're already losing money because, quite frankly, people can't afford to purchase their wares regardless of the situation. You have people that cannot and will not take on more debt to have the maybe possibility, the minor possibility and plausibility to earn more money eventually. But Americans are very risky. Americans are very, fuck it, we'll go to the old college try. And that's exactly what this is. It's the old college try versus companies who are just fucking greedy. And in the education space, that needs to stop. In the education space, it needs to be different. We have way too many schools striving to screw over as many people as possible with degrees that are absolute fucking hogwash. That are, and I'm the first person to say, hey, you use your degree how you use it, because you can have a degree in communication and make six figures. You can have a degree in underwater basket weaving and make six figures. It's all about what you choose to do with your degree. I'm a huge proponent of that. However, school has gotten to the point where it's obscenely expensive. You cannot expect people to go into debt, between 60 and 100, something thousand, and go into corporate America where they're only trying to pay people $35,000 to $45,000 at most to do a white-collar job that would have netted them great money in the past. But not anymore, due to academic inflation and due to corporate greed. You're getting shit on. Absolutely getting shit on, because you're not in a situation where you can work for a company and make that kind of money. You literally have to start your own company or be such a skilled entrepreneurial type of person who does freelance to yield the amount of money you need to stay afloat or exceed where you want to succeed within the confines of your ability. Now, there are certain industries that quite frankly, if you would have gotten in the last 3 years, you're probably making money hand over fist. Real estate being one of them. The tech space is one of them. Cybersecurity is making hell strides, you know, and compensating people correctly for, you know, their schooling. Because these people are going to 6-month boot camp and then coming out making 6 figures, which is fantastic. But now you've got people who are also, you know, trying to work kind of a regular job and utilize their skills for still sales or whatever have you, and they're being ultimately shit on by the company because the company is going to maximize that dollar. You know, could they pay people more and have people comfortable during this time period? Yeah, but why would they? Because that affects their bottom line, right? If you're a business owner and you're worried about your bottom line to the point where you're not getting 100% max profit all the fucking time, and you're, you know, which you should be doing, but at the same time, like, if it's affecting your people and you have a high turnover rate, nobody's going to want to work for you eventually. The word's going to get out, and we see this on Glassdoor. We see this on Glassdoor, ZipRecruiter, where people are putting their 1 stars and 2 stars, and they're making a whole lot of sense. Like, listen, this company sucks for X, Y, and Z reason. Yeah, at first they were a lucrative place to be, the benefits packages work, X, Y, and Z. But then they get to the point where, damn, man, you know, Junior over here is a little bit too high on the hog. He's making a little bit too much money. We're going to go ahead and dump him. We're going to go pick up Oscar for, you know, $35,000 less. He's going to work twice as hard as this motherfucker. And that's the mentality of the business world. Instead of, hey, let's go ahead and take care of people, it's how many people can we fuck over and still make as much money and come out looking like we haven't done anything unethical. That's what it comes down to. Anyways, and I just had to get it off my chest because corporations out there are scheming. They're trying to get people back, but they're not doing it the right way. They're still stuck on the, well, we can offer them whatever we want. Like, if you, in the first portion of the phone call, can't comfortably discuss a salary expectation of the place that you're going to be working, or that the recruiter cannot fucking bring themselves to talk about salary in that first phone call, or, hey, this is just to get to know you. Well, if you can't get to know my salary expectations, don't fucking call me. And I hope you and the most success. I wish you can recruit people that are high quality. But if you can't produce a number that is viable and you're classing out people who are desperate, then go ahead and go with the desperate people. Because what they're going to do is they're going to be working and stressed out the entire fucking time because of what's going on at home, or that they don't make enough money to actually fucking make it, and they're going to realize that. And they're going to be like, listen, I need a little bit more money, or I need this, or I need some sort of accommodation because I've got, you know, X, Y, and Z, you know, thing going on at home. And the company's going to be like, not my problem. And then those people leave, and then the company's like, oh, well, don't be rash. Don't leave. We can negotiate. And those are the companies that are the real shitbags. The companies that are the real shitbags would be like, okay, cool. Then, you know, we may have to... You know, reduce your hours. We may have to cut you from the team. We may have to put you on paper. And by and large, this generation is like, cool, I'm out. Oh, but you didn't drop me 2 weeks. Well, what do you need 2 weeks for? You said that you're going to cut me from the team. You said that you're going to put me on paper for simply asking for accommodation. Well, you know, since you're going to go that route, let me go ahead and go the other route and say, fuck you. Which is fantastic that people are doing by and large. Or they're filibustering and they're not doing shit, and then they're eventually getting fired. Which is great because you can say, you know, hey, they fired me for performance review. But what really occurred is they fired me because they, you know, they didn't like how I was outspoken. They didn't like that I was challenging, that I was daring to have the conversation about salary, whatever, X, Y, and Z. And it makes them look like turds too. So it is what it is. Anyways, thank you for tuning in to David's Life and Observation. I hope you got something out of this podcast. I hope that, you know, the commentary about work is something that is near and dear to my heart. And I hope you're out there, you know, working hard and earning your way and, you know, maybe finding a whole different lifestyle and niche that you never thought you'd be in, but you're happy doing it. So I'm at that crossroads. I'm right there with you guys, and you know, I wish everybody the best of luck, and you know, keep striving, and we'll all get there together.